Sweden, we believe in just the right amount. Embracing balance, minimalism and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid and fully electric. There's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.
You're listening to SBS News.
The summit is therefore closed.
The first G20 summit to be held on the African continent has ended. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa hailed the meeting of the leaders of the world's major economies as a triumph for multilateralism, securing agreement from most of them on a joint declaration.
The G20 South Africa Summit Leaders' Declaration is more than words. It is a commitment to concrete actions that will improve the lives of people in every part of the world. More than that, it reaffirms our renewed commitment to multilateral cooperation and our recognition that our shared goals outweigh our differences.
The Trump administration also criticized the joint declaration for its priorities such as cooperation on trade and climate. The snub was received with ambivalence at the summit, with several leaders, such as Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney, noting the growing importance of emerging economies from Africa, Asia and Latin America. Brazil's President Lula da Silva said President Donald Trump's style of unilateralism would prove wrong.
President Trump has been demonstrating this for several months now. He has already withdrawn from UNESCO and the World Trade Organization. He is attempting to preach the end of multilateralism in practice, trying to strengthen unilateralism. I believe multilateralism will prevail. If anyone imagined that they could weaken multilateralism, these events, both the COP and the G20 here in South Africa, demonstrate that multilateralism is more than alive.
French President Emmanuel Macron warned cryptically that the G20 may be coming to the end of a cycle. But the Brazilian president's view was shared by the leader of Europe's biggest economy, German Chancellor Friedrich Merz.
I must say that what really struck me here and what I find quite fascinating is the fact that we can see that the world is currently undergoing a realignment and that new connections are being formed here and that the United States of America has played a fairly minor role. I don't think it was a good decision on the part of the American government to be absent here, but the American government has to know that for itself. It was good for us to be here.
In the end, all countries present agreed to the joint declaration, except Argentina, which disagreed with its framing of the conflict in the Middle East. The statement emphasises the seriousness of climate change and calls for more adaptation measures, praising ambitious targets to boost renewable energy. However, it's been criticised for failing to detail obligations for phasing out fossil fuel. It also focuses on global inequality, noting the punishing cost of servicing debt suffered by poor countries. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese addressed the summit, saying climate action could be achieved with economic growth.
The vital message that we must send to the world is that action on climate change is not a matter of asking any nation to forego the jobs, prosperity or security that its people deserve. It's about working with every nation to power the next generation of economic growth while protecting the environment for generations to come.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen went further, touting Europe's Global Gateway Initiative. It is a €150 billion infrastructure project for Africa, of which a quarter will go towards grids and interconnectors to accelerate the transition to renewable energy.
Of the $2 trillion invested globally in clean energy last year, only 2% was in Africa, While Africa has 600 million people who have no access to electricity, and it is the continent with 60% of the world's best solar potential. So this cannot be.
Next year's summit will be hosted by the United States, with President Trump saying he plans to hold it at his golf course in Florida. This made the US absence even more pronounced at this year's closing ceremony, where the host country's leader would usually hand over to the new host. That didn't happen, with Cyril Ramaphosa refusing to meet with the junior diplomat that was sent by the US in place of the president. Oscar Van Heerden from the Mapungubwe Institute for Strategic Reflection, who attended the conference, says that doesn't matter.
The majority of leaders that are here at this summit is in agreement with the declaration. That's it, full stop. One country decided to boycott. It's unfortunate. We would have wanted that country to be here, but they are not. It doesn't mean and doesn't at all suggest that there is a problem with this declaration.
Sanusha Naidu from the South African Institute for Global Dialogue says Mr. Trump's absence was disrespectful, but ultimately does not detract from the summit's achievements.
Not being here also opens them up for levels of vulnerability, but it also signals that by doing what they have done, they've now opened the door to that kind of behavior. And I think the frustration from some of the G20 leaders was that we will not be disrespected in this way. And then, therefore, I think the fact that the US is not here doesn't mean they become irrelevant, but it means that the world still carries on without them.
Edwina Guinan, SBS News.
In Sweden, we believe in just the right amount. Embracing balance, minimalism, and simplicity. Something that Volvo believe in too. And when it comes to choosing your next car, we believe in just the right amount of choice. Between petrol, plug-in hybrid, and fully electric, there's a Volvo for everyone. So visit your local Volvo retailer to learn which one is right for you. Volvo.